Okay, well, there we go. You know what I'm fixing to say. So if you got your Bibles handy, put them in your hands, get ready, and it goes like this. Turn with me, if you will, to the place where this week's Torah portion begins. It's the beginning of a chapter, and it's chapter 26, so it makes it easy to find. And it says here, Ve'haya ki tavo. Okay, so it shall be when tavo, when you come up or enter the land which Yehuel is giving you for an inheritance, and you do possess it and dwell therein. Well, there's some things I want you to do. So the parsha, therefore, is called Ki Tavo, and it's one of the latter parshas where parshot in the book of Deuteronomy. We're literally heading for the last few portions in the Torah at this point. And this one is particularly important. I've always thought that it was probably one of the most significant for a number of reasons. But probably the most memorable one is that it contains what by most accounts would be the most famous and most fearsome set of blessings and cursings, both on the blessing side and on the cursing side, in the entire book. There are some other ones that are well known, but it's tough to point to anywhere else other than Deuteronomy 28 and 29 as far as when it comes to blessings and cursings that exceeds the detail that's given here. So it goes like this, as I mentioned. When you've come into the land, and you possess it, and you dwell there, you're first to take the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you bring in from your land, which Yehuel has given you. You put it in a basket. You go to the place where Yehuel shall cause, or shall choose to cause, his name to dwell. So the place where he puts his name, essentially. This is going to be called the Bikurim, or the offering of first fruits. Then you shall come unto the Kohen, the priest that will be in those days, and you say the following to him: I have declared. Now, the English varies it a little bit. It's an interesting situation because it's past tense here. And Rashi has an interesting comment about the tense and the way that it's being stated. And it's I think, kind of helps to set the stage for what I'm going to read. So I'll mention this comment first. This is the farmer, the person that, and that it's addressed to each of us, those of us who are in the land, that is, that we're not ungrateful. Not ungrateful for what he's done. So, I have declared unto Yehuah Yirel, that I'm come into the land which Yehuah swore to our fathers to give us. So, essentially, what this is a statement that I understand this is a promise fulfilled. The priest, the Kohen, shall then take the basket out of your hand, set it down before the altar of Yehuah Yirel. Then you speak and say before Yehuah Yirel the following: A wandering Aramean was my father, and he went down into Mitzrayim, and sojourned there, few in number, and he became a nation great, mighty, and populous. Now, we remember this wandering Aramean thing. Oh, yeah, that sounds a lot like the declaration that we see at Pesach as well. And the telling does as well. It's kind of a similar version of what we see at Passover. The Egyptians dealt ill with us, afflicted us, laid upon us hard bondage. We cried out unto Yehuah, Elohim of our fathers, and Yehuah heard our voice. He saw our affliction, our toil, our oppression, and Yehuah brought us forth out of Mitzrayim or Egypt with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, great terribleness, with signs and with wonders, and he brought us here into this place and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey, all of this as promised. And now behold, I have brought the first of the fruit of the land which you, O Yehuah, have given me. And you set it down before Yehuah your El, and worship before Yehuah your El. Now here is another interesting, not the first time, certainly not the last time that we're going to see this, but a reminder of a command. You shall rejoice. We know the root word there, right? That's Sameach, or Simcha. We see it in Simchat Torah, or Hag Sameach, the idea of having a joyful feast or holiday time. You shall rejoice in all the good which Yehuel has given you, and your house, you and the Levite and the stranger that's in the midst of you. When you've made an end of tithing all the tithe of your increase in the third year, which is the year of tithing, and you've given it unto the Levite and the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, then that they may eat within your gates and also be satisfied, then you shall say before Yehuel, I've put away all of the hallowed things, the dedicated things, things that were dedicated not to him, out of my house. But there are other things that are dedicated to him, and those I have given unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and to the widow, according to all the commandment which you have commanded me. And I have not transgressed any of your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. And that's kind of interesting. Rashi's comment there is, does it sound redundant? It's not. I've not transgressed, nor have I forgotten them. And I guess in the context of today, where most of the whore church doesn't even think that they still apply anymore, that would be something that would be difficult to say, because they have transgressed and they have forgotten both. So, no, it's not redundant. I've not eaten anything in mourning thereof of these things that were set aside, nor have I put away thereof being unclean, nor given thereof for the dead. I've hearkened to the voice of Yahuwah my El, and I've done according to all that you have commanded me. So look forth from your holy habitation, from Hashemayim, and bless your people Israel in the land which you've given us, as you did swear to our fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. This day Yahuwah El commands you to do these statutes, ha-hukim, and these ordinances, ha-mishpatim, and these mitzvot, and observe and do all of them with all your heart and with all your soul. So that word there, observe and do, is shamar, and the root word of aser, do. You have avouched. That's kind of an interesting turn of phrase, isn't it? It's a unique conjugation in the Hebrew. You have avouched this day that Yahuwah your El, to him you would walk in his ways, and keep his statutes and his commandments and his ordinances, and hearken unto his voice. And Yahuwah has avouched unto you this day to be his own treasure, just as he promised you, that you should keep kol all of his commandments, his mitzvotin, and to make you high above all the nations that he's made in praise and in name and in glory, that you may be a set-apart, kadosh, holy people unto Yahuwah, as he has spoken. All right. Then in the next chapter, we get kind of an interesting demonstration of what we're going to see play out in the chapters following. Moshe and the elders of Israel commanded all the people, and they said the following, keep all the commandment. Now that's singular in this case, which I command you this day. And it shall be on the day when you pass over the Jordan into the land which Yahuwah your El is giving you. So remember, they're going to pass over the Jordan. They're going to continue then to take the land after that, which you shall set up these great stones, plaster them with plaster. Okay, so they're going to set up some great stones, plaster them with plaster, and write upon them all the words of this Torah, this instruction. And generally that's understood it would be the book of Deuteronomy. So they're going to be big stones, plastered over, when you pass over, that you may go into the land which Yahuwah your El gives you, a land flowing with milk and honey, as Yahuwah Elohim of your fathers has promised you. And it shall be that when you have passed over the Jordan, that you shall set up these stones, which I command you to this day, in Mount Ebal, and shall plaster them with plaster. And there you will build an altar unto Yahuwah your El, altar made out of stones. Do not lift up an iron tool upon them. So the concept here, we see this more than once. His altar will be made out of unhewn stones, the way he made them, not the way man cut them to fit. So the other implication is to build an altar of unhewn stones requires some creative work. You got to kind of look at the stones and find the ones and see how they fit so that you can build one that fits together nicely. You don't lift an iron tool on them. Okay, then you shall build the altar of Yahuwah your El out of these unhewn stones, and you shall offer your burnt offerings there on unto Yahuwah your El. You shall offer sacrificed peace offerings, shalamim, and eat there. And you shall, here it is again, rejoice, that same root word, sameach, before the face of Yahuwah your El. And you shall write upon those stones, those two stones that are plastered over, all the words of this Torah, HaTorah, very plainly. Okay? Ba'ar ha-haitov, very plainly. Moshe and the Kohanim, the Levites, spoke unto all Israel, and they said the following, keep silent and hear, O Israel, this day you have become a people unto Yahuwah your El. Listen. So therefore it says, you shall hearken to the voice of Yahuwah your El, and do his commandments and his statutes which I command you this day. Notice how often that appears. It's almost like it's important, isn't it? That these things that he wrote down for us, says we're supposed to write down, put them on those stones, hearken, hear, do, obey, keep. And he says it over and over and over again. And we're going to get a real inkling in the next chapter as to why that is. Moshe charged the people in the same day, and he said, look, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you've passed over the Jordan. He's going to name half the tribes, Simeon and Levi and Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. These shall stand upon Mount Ebal for the curse, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites will speak and say unto all of the men of Israel with a loud voice the following. Now here come the first set of, they're not curses, they're cursed bees statements. And by the way, it says after each of them the same thing, and all the people shall answer and say amen. So if y'all would like to say amen, you're welcome to do so. Cursed be the man that makes a graven or molten image, an abomination unto Yahuwah, the work of the hands of the craftsman, sets it up in secret. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Now, notice, I guess we're at the point now where they no longer set them up in secret. They set them up openly. All right. Cursed be the man that dishonors his father or his mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. Now, Rashi makes a comment here that I think is appropriate. You notice that it says outright in some of them, and in others it doesn't say it outright, but there's kind of an implication. So Rashi's comment is, looks like the thread that runs through all of these things are that they are done in secret, or at least up until they became so brazen about it, they were done in secret. And you'll see as we go through that, that makes sense. Cursed be he that removes his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, Amen. Well, of course, that one sounds like it would be done in secret. If the neighbor saw you moving it, he's going to put it back or say something, or maybe worse than that. Cursed be he that makes the blind to go astray in the way. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that perverts the justice due to the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. Now, quick comment on that. Nowadays in New York, they don't give a damn. And they pervert the justice due to everybody, and they do it all the time, and they say, what are you going to do about it? So, still though, it would be nice if the curses, and they do, whether these people know it or not, would apply. So, cursed be he that perverts the justice due to these other folks, the stranger, fathers, and the widow, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lies with his father's wife, because he's uncovered his father's skirt, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lies with any manner of beast, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lies with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lies with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that smites his neighbor in secret, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that takes a bribe to slay an innocent person. I guess we got five groups of those running around the United States trying to kill presidents nowadays. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that does not confirm, establish, ratify. And listen to this one carefully, and remember, the whore church has already been guilty of violating a lot of these. Cursed be he that does not confirm the words of this Torah to do them. And all the people shall say, Amen. And it shall come to pass, chapter 28. Now, here we go. This is probably, folks, the most set of blessing, the most famous set, certainly the most dramatic and lengthy of blessings and curses in the Torah. Now, one of the things you'll also notice is that there's a lot more verses of curses than there are blessings, and that the first ones, at least, are mirror images. So here we go. And it shall come to pass, if, the word there is im in the Hebrew, if, so Don Pardo tell them what they've won, right? Here's the good news. If they will hearken diligently unto the voice of Yahuwah Yireh to observe to do all of his commandments, which I command you to this day, that Yahuwah Yireh will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. And all of these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, im, if, ki, you shall hearken unto the voice of Yahuwah Yireh. So that one also can be understood, ki, as when. Because it should be. Should be a when you hearken unto the voice of Yahuwah Yireh. Here we go. And some of these are pretty famous. We know them. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country, in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your land, and the fruit of your cattle, and the increase of your kine, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading trough. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed you shall be when you go out. Yahuwah will cause those enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before you. They'll come out against you one way, and they will flee from before you seven ways. Yahuwah will command the blessing with you in your barns, and in all that you put your hand unto, and he will bless you in the land which Yahuwah gives you. Yahuwah will establish you for a holy people, an Am Kodesh, unto himself, as he has sworn to you, Im, Ki, when, or if, and I like this better as when you shall keep the commandments of Yahuwah and walk in his ways. And actually, some renderings say, and I think this is even better still, he will do these things, establish you as a holy people, as he has sworn, that, or because, you shall keep the commandments of Yahuwah and walk in his ways. Remember how we've seen that demonstrated before. The idea is, you do this, the blessings come first. And all the peoples of the earth shall see that the name of Yahuwah is called upon you. Isn't it funny? Most of the whore church today doesn't even know the name of Yahuwah. They've taken it out. They've replaced it. How can the name be called upon a church that doesn't even know it, wouldn't know if they heard it? And the rest of the world, it says, shall be afraid of you. I guess they're not afraid of people that are ignorant of the God that they claim to worship, that they claim protects them. And Yahuwah, it says, will make you overabundant for good in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of your land, and the land which Yahuwah swore unto your fathers to give you. Yahuwah will open unto you his good treasure, Hashemayim, the heavens, to give the rain of the land and its season. Bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend unto many nations, but you shall not borrow. And Yahuwah will make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath. Im, ki, that, because you shall hearken unto the commandments of Yahuwah, which I command you to this day, to observe them and to do them. Amen? Sounds wonderful. We know the history. They did for a while, but not completely, and it didn't last. And as a result, here comes part B. After this, you shall turn not aside from any of the words which I command you to this day, not to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. And therein lies the rub. As it turns out, we knew it. We saw it. He's warned about it. They'll be a snare unto you. They were. They did. We're in exile today. But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of Yahuwah, to observe, to do all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, here are the listing. These are the curses, all of them, that shall come upon you and overtake you. Now again, notice the first few are essentially a negation, an inverse, a mirror image of the blessings. Cursed you shall be in the city, and cursed you shall be in the field. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading trough. Cursed will be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your land, the fruit of your kind, the increase, and the young of your flock. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed you shall be when you go out. Yahuwah will send upon you cursing, discomfiture, and rebuke in all that you put your hand to do, until you are destroyed, and until you perish quickly, because of the evil of your doings, whereby you have forsaken me. Yahuwah will make pestilence cleave unto you, till he's consumed you from off the land that you were going in to possess it. Yahuwah will smite you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with fiery heat, and with drought, blasting, with mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish. And your heavens, the heavens that's over your head, will be like brass, and the earth under you as iron. In other words, hard-packed dirt, folks, it's almost impossible even to dig in, much less plant. Yahuwah will make the rain of your land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon you until it is destroyed. You know, it just occurred to me, if you look and see the crap that rains out of the sky now that comes down from chemtrails and geoengineering, isn't it ironic? Of course, the curses are literally coming from a satanic host, but it's kind of ironic that some of these curses we're actually seeing, we're seeing them fulfilled in a literal way that a lot of folks probably haven't thought much about. And I'll admit, this is one that when I read it, I think now it makes more sense. Yahuwah will cause you to be smitten before your enemies. You'll go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and you shall be a horror unto all the kingdoms of the earth. Well, that one's hard to deny today, isn't it? And your carcasses will be food for all the fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and there shall be none to frighten them away. Yahuwah will smite you with the boils of Egypt, with the emerods and the scab and the itch, things from which you cannot be healed. Yahuwah will smite you with madness and with blindness and with astonishment of heart. It's interesting. Some of these we can say, well, we've seen at least in part. Others, I can say, we've probably seen writ fairly large. I look at the world today and I see this one that says he will smite you with madness and with blindness. And I think, hey, isn't that what they call wokeness? It's the very essence of what we're seeing preached from most of the whore churches and from virtually every whore media outlet and ministry of truth. Blindness and madness and astonishment. And you shall grope at noonday like a blind man gropes in the darkness. And you shall not make your own way prosperous. You'll try, but you won't. You shall only be oppressed and robbed always, and there will be no one to save you. You will betroth a wife, and some other man will lie with her. You build a house, you won't dwell therein. No, the aliens and the illegals and the squatters will come and take that. You plant a vineyard, you shall not use the fruit thereof. Your ox will be slain before your eyes, you shall not eat thereof. Your ass will be violently taken away from before your face. And I guess you can read that several ways, the tacky and the direct, and they're all probably true. They shall not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, and you shall have no one to save you. Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people. They can go fight in Ukraine, I guess, or maybe against Russia or whatever world war is coming next, whichever front it is. Their eyes shall look and fail them with longing all the day. There shall be no one in the power of your hand. There shall not be any in the power of your hand. In other words, you won't be able to stop it. The fruit of your land and all your labor shall a nation which you do not know eat up. As a matter of fact, it might be dozens of them, hundreds of them, coming across the open borders. You got your communist China. You pick a nation, folks, if they don't have troops who are already stealing and occupying and taking, they've missed the boat because there's plenty of open stuff to come in and steal. The fruit of your land, your labors, then a nation which you do not know shall eat up. You'll be only oppressed and crushed. So that you shall be mad for the sight of your own eyes, which you shall see. Yahuwah will smite you in the knees and in the legs with a sore boil where you can't be healed from it, from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head. Yahuwah will bring you and the king whom you shall set over you. Maybe it's a queen. And it doesn't matter if you set her over or he. Remember, it can be done by stealth and by lies, just as surely, because he's the one that's going to allow it to happen. Yahuwah will bring you and the king whom you set over you unto a nation that you have not known, not you or your fathers, and there shall be there a place where you will then serve other gods, wood and stone, and nowadays I guess we could add silicon in part of the stone. And you shall become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all the peoples where Yahuwah shall lead you away, the scattering. And again, we're there. You shall carry much seed out of the field and gather a little in, because the locust will consume that. You can plant vineyards and dress them, but you shall not drink of the wine, nor gather the grapes, because the worm will eat those. You shall have olive trees throughout your borders, but you won't anoint yourself with their oil, because your olives will just plain drop off. You'll beget sons and daughters, but they won't be yours. They'll end up going into captivity. All your trees and the fruit of your land, the locusts will possess those. The stranger that's in the midst of you shall mount up above you, higher and higher. I guess he gets his Obama phone and his free stuff and all of his free, you name it. And you shall come down lower and lower. He shall lend to you and you shall not lend to him. He will be the head and you will be the tail. Anybody doubt that there are elements of this and more coming, but elements of this that are already written very large, not just in the U.S., but throughout the world. This has happened in Europe. It's happened in other places and it is continuing and accelerating. All these curses, it says, shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you till you are destroyed. Why? Because you did not hearken unto the voice of Yahuwah your El to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. No, the whore church told you it's all done away with. It's all Old Testament stuff. You don't have to do that. Just say the get out of hell prayer and free prayer and that's all you got to do. Forget him. All of this, it says, they shall be upon you for a sign and for a wonder, and upon your seed forever, because you did not serve Yahuwah your El with joyfulness and with gladness of heart by reasons of Rav Kol, the abundance of all things. Interesting. Therefore, you shall serve the enemy, which Yehuah your El will send among you, in hunger, thirst, and in nakedness, and in the want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he has destroyed you. And I think about this yoke of iron, and I wonder, does that sound like e-vaccine passports and various types of electronic controls? And, well, in a way, folks, that's every bit as binding as a yoke of iron. You will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, like a vulture swoops down a nation whose tongue you shall not understand. There are several candidates, but a couple loom particularly large. A nation of fierce countenance that shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And he, that other nation, and its people shall eat the fruit of your cattle, the fruit of your ground, till you are destroyed. And also won't leave you any corn, wine, or oil, nor the increase of your kine, or the young of your flock, until he has caused you to perish. And he will besiege you in all your gates, till your high and fortified walls come down. Nowadays they're not fortified walls, they're electronic. They are radars, they are missile defense shields, they are military on the seas, and the naval forces. Are we seeing that? Have we already seen the Navy, and have we seen the forces that have been brought down by wokeness and by LGBTQ, BS, and all kinds of other crap that essentially has taken the military and gutted it till the high walls have come down? Things in which you did trust, he said, throughout all your land. He'll besiege you in all your gates and throughout all your land, which Yahuwah your El has given you. Now remember, there are multiple levels of fulfillment and understanding in here, because the land that we were in, we've been kicked out of already. But if you recall, the founders, they thought of America as kind of a new Israel, a new world, and that there were a lot of the blessings that would indeed come upon this land. They were right. And so a lot of these curses have now also come upon the land, and to that extent, yeah, they were right there too. You shall not eat, continuing the curses, of the fruit of your own body. You shall not eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your sons and daughter, whom Yahuwah your El has given you in the siege and in the straitness. Oh, I'm sorry, I misspoke. No, this is kind of like the abortion thing. Your flavor enhancers. You shall eat. That's why it sounds so horrible that we don't want to read it the way it really reads. It says, yep, in fact, you shall eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your sons and your daughters, whom... Ooh, really? Yep. Whom Yahuwah your El has given you, in the siege and in the straitness wherein your enemies shall straiten you. In other words, we are talking about a time of famine that is that bad. And oh yeah, Kamala will have it with the grocery store setup and the things that will bring that upon the land. The food supply chain, folks, has already been destroyed. They're trying to destroy the energy supply chain so that the harvest won't get planted and it won't get shipped and it won't get harvested. How bad is it? Listen to this. The man that's tender among you, very delicate, his eye shall be evil against his brother. Well, that kind of already is in place. And against the wife of his bosom, and against the remnant of his children that he has remaining. So that he will not give to any of them the flesh of his children whom he shall eat. What? It literally, it's that bad. He says that this man, This guy who is going to turn against his own wife and against those children that he hadn't eaten yet, isn't even going to share the meat of his dead children with the rest of his family, because he has nothing left him. In the siege and in the straitness, wherewith your enemy shall straiten you in all your gates. This sounds pretty blankety-blank and nasty. Now, how about this one? The tender and delicate woman, right? The Karen, who is so, she would wear her mask oh so properly, and she wouldn't dare to set the sole of her foot on the ground because of her delicateness and tenderness, and she's so scared, she wears her little mask too so that she doesn't have to get the booga booga flu. Her eye shall be evil against the husband of her bosom and against her son and against her daughter. Why not? It's evil against everybody else. We've already seen this, at least in part. The only thing that's missing is what she's going to do. Says, against her afterbirth that comes out of her between her feet, and against her children whom she shall bear. She shall eat them, huh? For want of all things secretly. Yeah, she eats her children in the closet, I guess. In the siege and in the straitness wherewith your enemy shall straiten you in all your gates. Again, this is nasty stuff. If you will not observe to do all the words of this Torah that are written in this book. Now, what does the whore church tell you? Don't do that. It's all Old Testament stuff. Jesus came to free us from the curse of the law. Oh, really? Just wait. If you're walking in rebellion, folks, you ain't freed from anything, because if you're serving another Jesus, who in fact did not do away with the law because he said he wasn't, he said he came and wasn't going to change one yod or tittle. He taught it as written, including the fact that you're supposed to keep, observe, to do all of his statutes, judgments, and commandments. And he said this. He wasn't going to take a one yod or tittle away from it, including what? This verse? Verse 58? Yeah, I would say that includes among the I'm not taking it away part. If you will not observe to do all the words of this Torah that are written in this book, so that you may fear the glorious and awful or fearful name, Yahuwah Yirel, a name that hasn't even been taught in the whore churches on Sun God Day school for a long, long time anyway. How can you fear a name you've never heard? How can you observe a Torah which you've been told is done away with and don't pay any attention to that anyway? What will happen? Yahuwah will make your plagues wonderful, as well as the plagues of your sea, great plagues, long continuance, sore sicknesses of long continuance. Now, this is the part that I always, when I read this, I find it very interesting, especially now I'm going to emphasize it. Thank you, Tony Fauci. Thank you, Peter Daszak. Thank you, all of the Wuhan scientists, all the scientists in Ukraine and in Fort Detrick and in all the places where the bioweapons were developed and all the Zyklon B vaccines and all the massive poisons. Because essentially what he's going to say is, yep, those plagues of Egypt, they were nasty, but guess what? There's new ones, aren't even written in the book. Tony Fauci's developing those, and he's not alone. We got other people. H5N1 and monkeypox. Oh, we're going to call it Mpox because people are scared enough because they don't think that, since they're not doing the boo-foo thing with one another, that they're not going to get it. Well, he says differently. He is going to allow these things to come out of the lab, it sounds like. That's how I read this. Your mileage may vary. See what you think. Verse 60 says, he will bring back upon you all the diseases of Egypt. Oh, well, those we know about, right? Which you were in dread of, and they will cleave unto you. That sounds pretty bad. But wait, there's more. Also, every sickness and every plague, which is not even written in this book of the Torah, those will Yahuwah bring back upon you, because they've not been here before, but they're here now, until you are destroyed. It's almost like a promise. Well, it certainly fits, folks. We have seen this. We've already seen plagues and diseases which were never known before, that were the result of, cleavage sites and proteins being grafted in with CRISPR and various kinds of gene manipulation technologies. They're not written in the book because they didn't exist up until they were created in the bio labs of the satanic evil that's here now. And you shall be left few in number, whereas once upon a time you were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because you did not hearken unto the voice of Yahuwah Yirel. Yeah, you hearken to those damn preachers of another Jesus whom we have not preached, who lied to you and told you, pay no attention to the God that really made you and wrote this book, because it's all done away with. So he says, instead, it'll come to pass that just as the Lord, the one you took his name out of the book, the real one, as Yahuwah rejoiced over you to do you good and multiply you, so will Yahuwah, the one whose name you took out, so will Yahuwah also rejoice over you to cause you to perish and to destroy you. And you shall be plucked off the land that you went in to possess it. Well, again, that's already happened. How much more are we going to see? Here is the part that we have seen. Listen carefully. And Yahuwah will scatter you among all the peoples, from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. This is a done deal. Here we are. And there you shall serve other gods which you've not known, not you nor your fathers, even wood and stone. And I guess, again, I'll say it. Stone seems to include silica and silicates and other rare earth minerals, refined stone, if you will, that amounts to, chips, gods made out of electronic devices. Have we seen that? You betcha. Are we going to see more of it? Oh, rest assured. And among these nations you shall have no repose, and there shall be no rest for the sole of your foot, As a matter of fact, the IRS will continue to hearken and harass you, and even if you try to leave and go to other nations, they'll come after you. Yahuwah shall give you there a trembling heart and failing eyes and languishing of soul, and your life shall hang in doubt before you, and you shall fear night and day. Now, this is an interesting word. Upachrat. It's the first use in the book. It's a different kind of fear, it sounds like a trembling. The kind of fear, essentially, that people don't know if they're going to draw another breath or maybe if nukes will come out of the sky before they know what hit them. You shall have no assurance of your life. We're seeing that. We're seeing that in the daily headlines today, even though most people are still oblivious to it. Your life shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear night and day and have no assurance in your life or of your life. In the morning, you'll say, oh, man, sure wish it was evening. And at evening, you'll say, wow, I wish it was morning. Because of the fear in your heart with which you shall fear, and for the sight of your eyes, the things you shall see. And Yahuwah will bring you back into Egypt in ships. By the way whereof I said to you, you shall no more go see it again. And there you shall sell yourself unto your enemies for bondsmen and for bondswomen, and no man will buy you. That's kind of an interesting prophecy, isn't it? Sell yourself and no man will buy you. Is it because they've already sold? IRS already owns your flesh? These are the words of the covenant which Yahuwah commanded Moshe to make with the Bnei Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant, in addition, in other words, to the one that he made with them in Horeb. Now, we're going to get the last few verses at this point of the portion. This is chapter 29. It says, and Yahuwah called unto Kol Israel. And he said to them, you've seen all that Yahuwah did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, unto Pharaoh, all of his servants, all of his land, the great trials which your eyes saw, the signs and the great wonders. But Yahuwah has not given you a heart to know, and eyes to see, and ears to hear, unto this day. And I, says Moses, remember this is his last public address, basically, I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes haven't waxed old upon you. Your shoe hasn't waxed old upon your foot. In other words, your sandals and the clothes haven't worn out. That's pretty good to have clothes and shoes that last for 40 years. You've not eaten bread, nor have you drunk wine or strong drink, that you might know Ki Ani Yahuwah. There's those words that appear throughout the Exodus in a number of places. He signs so many of his commandments with this. And then he says, remember this, when you came unto this place, Sihon, king of Heshbon, Og, king of Bashan, they all came out against us in battle, and we smote them. We kicked butt and took names. We took their land, we gave it for an inheritance, unto the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of the Manassites. Observe, therefore, the words of this covenant and do them. Now, this is the last verse in the Torah portion. And it is, once again, another one of these reminders that is in here so many times. Observe, shamar, and it's the plural form, the yawl form, shamar tem. Observe, therefore, the words of this covenant, and do them, that you may make all you do to prosper. And with that, the Torah portion ends, and again, some of the most memorable, and they should be, some of the most frightening curses in Scripture. And I say that because I cannot help but think that if we look and see, well, let's just put it this way. If we don't deserve those curses, you got to ask who in hell on this planet ever has. Because America has certainly wreaked a level of evil with the technology to back it up, too, the likes of which arguably have never been seen before. And that applies to just about anything you can name, whether it's cutting the genitalia off little boys and little girls and teaching them to be abominations, or dishonest weights and measures and the biggest debt bubble and abomination of fiat fakes in history, to nuclear and biological abominations that have killed more people than any nation has ever dared to consider. They've tried. They haven't been quite as successful as Fauci and the current crop. And they're not done yet, folks. And therein lies the rub with the remaining curses. So bear in mind where we are and what we have been charged with and what the choices are. And we'll see that in next week's portion as well. But these are serious times, and this warning has probably never been more apropos.